Greetings, citizens of the planet Earth. This is the Comedy Film Nerds Podcast. My name is Graham Elwood.
I'm Chris Mancini, and this is episode 188.
Halfway to 376, you guys. We're going to have a 376 party.
We are. Four years from now.
You know, we're always so stupid about this. Should we have a special episode 200 party?
Oh, we definitely should. Yeah. We'll do maybe a live event. Maybe we'll do a Laughster event.
Oh, snap. Well, we got one coming up December 3rd.
December 3rd at Laughster, yeah. In fact, the rewards are already up on Laughster. You could actually get them early if you want to beat out the competition.
And there you go. Mm-hmm. And what are the rewards, Chris?
The rewards are a personal, private podcast for that we will talk about a movie that you want to talk about just with you on Skype. It won't even be recorded. We will be talking to you about a movie, and then it will disappear forever. So no one else can hear it.
It's like that time when Kurt Vonnegut wanted to meet Pablo Picasso, and Picasso sent word, meet me at the beach, and he gets there, and Picasso had done a unique drawing for Kurt Vonnegut in the sand, and he's like, can I take a picture of this? And he goes, no, when the tide comes, it's gone. This is just for you.
But the difference is we're going to be doing it three times.
Right. Oh, really? Well, yeah, it'll be three times drawing in the sand. And yes, I'm equating this podcast to Pablo Picasso. You heard it. I think we're a little better than him, quite honestly. Yeah. All this fucking, I don't know where to put your eyes. He was an idiot. Doesn't know how to draw a face normal style. Yeah. What's his problem?
Too many hard lines.
Yeah. So this is going to be the Gornica of podcasts. It's a podcast about a horrifying bombing.
Cubists need not apply.
Cubists need not. We don't want Cubist podcast.
No. Listener? Anyway, so it's three. We're giving away three of those.
Oh, right.
So, and it'll be a 20-minute personal podcast just for you. Then we'll have a Comedy Film Nerds gift bag that'll have t-shirts and books in it, and then the last prize will just be a shout out, and we'll shout out you and your favorite movie on the podcast.
Yeah, we'll shout out whatever you want.
Mm-hmm. The first two are limited, the third one is not.
Yeah, and some people have already said they want to do this, and they want the personal podcast to be all in accents and Bane voices.
Which yes, all right, that's your choice.
Hello, I'm Gotham's Reckoning. I am.
If that's not worth $150, I don't know what
it is. I don't know what is. Then you don't understand money.
No.
Or things. Thank you to everyone who came out to the show this past Saturday at the Los Angeles or the Hollywood Improv.
That was a lot of fun.
That was a fun show. It was a good business. Thank you.
It was a good late night show, too. It wasn't a bunch of drunk assholes. It was a really great late night crowd that starts at 10 o'clock.
Thanks for not being drunk assholes.
Yeah, we appreciate that. It's harder than you think. You know,
it is. Once you start drinking, everyone becomes a moron, and you guys somehow were able to
avoid the moron late night comedy show trap.
It was amazing. So thank you, and then to Kira Soltanovich and
Rosie Tran,
Sean Felipe, Matt Kirshner popped in, did a spot. So we did have an accent on the show. I really wanted to have. After Will Anderson did the last one, I think we need to have an accent on every show. So bring out your accents, matey. What? That's really stupid. All Things Comedy needs an intern.
Actually, multiple interns.
They need a bunch of interns.
I think they said like 40. They need 40. Well, they're building a house.
40 interns?
I don't know how many.
Habitat for Humanity?
Yeah. But they definitely need a few. So you can send a resume to info@allthingscomedy.com.
Yeah, because they're building what they're doing. They're doing cool stuff. They're building like a studio over at Largo, and they're working on having. I think they want to do like shoot a lot of video and stuff like that, and record podcasts. So it's cool. And I'm doing their show December 10th at Largo. Once a month, they do like a All Things Comedy show. With comics from their coterie of shows.
It'll be and last time we went, it was a really good show.
I've done a couple of them. It's been a lot of fun. So what else? Any other business, or do we want to
get into
the meat of it?
Let's introduce our guest.
Let's do it.
We have one this week.
We do have one this week. He's been a writer for the site. He's a funny man, goes on the road and does his comedy skits, and has a is a co-host on a very popular podcast, Professor Blasoff. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Nerd Headquarters, David Huntsberger.
Hello, dudes. I've got coming in swinging. One you called Matt Kirshner.
I can change names if I want.
No, you cannot, sir.
No, we focus grouped it, and apparently Kirshner tested better than Kershon.
I get that with my name sometimes, where people throw in phantom letters, and you really changed it up. I mean, the E-N became N-E-R. And right. I'll get like Hertzberg.
Hunsenberger
a lot.
Wow. Yeah.
And the difference between the two is that Hunsenberger a lot of times will elicit sort of an eyebrow up, like, pretty good, huh? When someone's just reading my ID, like, you know, TSA person or something. Yeah. Have a good day, Mr. Hunsenberger.
Eh? I got it. Like, nailed it.
Yeah, that's the look they're giving me. You know? Like, yeah, pretty good.
I get Elmwood probably once a week.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. People love putting the M in there. Don't know.
I really do now that I've heard that, Graham Elmwood.
Yeah, Graham Elmwood.
It's hard to say because your first
name is Graham Elmwood.
Graham.
Does have a flow.
Not really.
Yeah. No.
Elwood flows better. If your last name was not that, then yeah. Sure.
And I like your British guy always repeats, I'm so-and-so, I am.
Well, that's how they speak in the Ukraine. That's a Ukrainian accent.
Oh, that's Ukrainian.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
I'm Ukrainian, I am.
Hello, I'm from the Ukraine, I am. You know, it's... It's very accurate. I don't know if you've
done as much
international travel as I have. But
I haven't. I'm feeling quite ignorant over here. I am.
Thanks, Mr. Hunsenberger.
Should we talk about the...
Nope.
let's talk about the movie that...
Graham just went.
Graham's checking out.
It's out of steam.
It's a slow process.
This is
but
bullshit.
David actually reviewed on the site the new Carrie.
You know, we haven't talked about that movie's been out for a couple weeks.
We would definitely because we haven't talked about it on the podcast. Uh-huh. We wanted to talk about it, and Dave has actually also seen the original, so we wanted to get his thoughts on both.
Sure. Well, I was hoping have you guys seen the original?
Yes.
What do you remember about it? I think that's a good baseline to have going in. To me, the end scene obviously is the thing. You go, oh, right, that's Carrie. That's what you think about, the blood and then the just freaking out and the powers. But I couldn't remember a whole lot of the original movie as far as like identifying with Carrie or really even like caring to a degree with like, oh, this poor girl. It looks more like a Jeremy Spoken type situation where you're like, oh yeah, you pick on her. That's what's going to happen. You can't keep picking on her like that.
Jeremy Spoken. Is that what we got here? We got a Jeremy Spoken.
I was thinking that or Columbine. I went the more lighthearted version.
Sure.
But it's hard to identify. It's hard to be like, God, if she just had a chance, I could see her being friends with people.
The original is based on a Stephen King novel. Mm-hmm. And, Brian De Palma directed it. So it's sort of, right in Brian De Palma's...
And it's got those thriller hooks in it more than horror a lot of times, too.
Right, and that's how it was sort of billed. That's how it was marketed back then, and that's kind of what the movie...
And you've got just that iconic image of, you know, her covered in blood. And you realize, too, that's like an iconic image for horror movies.
Yeah.
And that's, yeah. You know, when you think, oh, horror movie, you think of that Carrie image.
Right. And I will say the first one, in my opinion, did a better job with the blood. This one... They tried to be so authentic with like it's real pig blood that it seems to almost dry too immediately, and it doesn't have that sort of oh gross, she's covered
glistening
in blood. Yeah, not at all. What is they put in like not vegetable oil, but it's
to make blood.
It's like a
some sort of syrup.
Yeah.
Karo syrup.
Yeah. So this doesn't have that glistening effect. Like it seems like it just dries kind of immediately. So that was a little disappointing. And then the lead up to it, though, I will give it credit that it does a better job of you being like, yeah, lay off Carrie. She could be kind of normal. Like in this one, she knows that her home life is weird, and she speaks out a little bit more. Like, Mom, I can fit in with these kids and I can be normal, and it doesn't seem that outrageous. I think partly because the girl that plays her is attractive. It's almost hard to envision her being picked on as much as she is, because mm-hmm. she's a little too good looking to be the outcast at
right,
school.
Right, because a young Sissy Spacek, she looked kind of weird.
Perfect casting.
Yeah. And when she was young, she was weird. She could do, you know, those eyes and look very much like the girl mm-hmm. that you'd be like, Jesus.
Like an outsider.
Yeah, very much an outsider. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Very much an outsider.
I think nowadays, with the emphasis on bullying and then the school shooting aspect that is like a real threat, they were maybe trying to take an angle more that, like, if they had just been nice to this girl, she would have acclimated into society and been mm-hmm. a normal kid. Whereas in the first one, it was so fun to watch. Like, you can only pick on her so much, and then you're gonna get it in the end. Whereas this one, I felt like that's essentially what they're saying, but more to the tone of, but if they'd just been nicer to her, you know, which obviously the first one's kind of doing the same thing, but this one, you see her say that more.
Now,
was that the biggest changes between the two versions, you think?
I don't remember the first one as clearly as I probably should. I probably should have watched it first. Yeah, it's been a long time.
Was this new one trying to be? It sounds like it wasn't trying to be as much of a horror movie as the first one was.
Right. I mean, they do. It's the woman who directed Boys Don't Cry.
Boys Don't Cry, yeah, Kimberly Pierce.
So she's really good with the tense moments. The scene opens with Carrie, or the movie opens with Carrie being born, and Julianne Moore is this crazy, weird religious lady. They do a great job of making her just unsettling. Almost every time she's on screen, you're just like, gah. So in the beginning, she's
like
giving birth.
Paul Dano in anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. That same weird, tiny eyed look. Yeah.
that makes you incredibly uncomfortable.
Yeah.
It's another tiny eyer.
Yeah.
They're weirdos.
She like gives birth in the very first scene. She's alone in her house giving birth to this demon child. And then she like picks up scissors and is going to kill the baby immediately upon having it. And of course she doesn't. But that's the type of love she essentially gives Carrie throughout her life.
So scissor murder love.
I just almost scissor murdered you. No, don't forget that I didn't, young lady.
Yeah.
Do your homework or out come the scissors.
Yeah. And so that's kind of what she gets locked in a closet, and there are heavy religious tones where, like, her mom, you know, is, you got to pray, young lady. And her, you know, the far-fetched thing about, like, the cool kids are going to invite her to prom, and that whole, there's a very she's all that element to it. There was a funny, like, on the prom ballot, there's a little inside nod to Breaking Bad, which is kind of funny. So, like, they're kind of trying to be as slightly tongue-in-cheek as possible, but the movie doesn't have silly tones like that.
No, neither did the first one.
Right.
That's a peculiar choice.
It's odd. Yeah, it's only... There's just a weird sense of levity as you watch that. Like, oh, okay. It didn't take me out of the movie. It didn't add a lot to it, but it was... I guess it did add to it. It made me like it a little bit more that they threw in like a little subtle thing. Because there were parts in the beginning as they're leading up where like the cool kids are hopping in a convertible and giggling and laughing and riding away, which is a very teen sort of Twilight. And I haven't seen the Twilight movies, but that's what I picture it as being. Like brightly lit, a lot of good-looking teenagers laughing and going around. And
it's nothing like that. I've seen every single one of them. Half of that is correct. It's a lot of good-looking teenagers, but uh-huh. they deliberately set it up in Seattle because there's vampires you can't have.
Oh, sunlight. Right.
So everything's
right. Okay.
rainy and dark and gray.
Okay.
Because you can't have the vampires go into the sun because then they sparkle. I've seen every
shine
single,
bright like a diamond.
Yeah, I've seen every single one of the Twilight movies, and I feel like that gains me some credit somewhere. If I do something horrible, like, yeah, but I watched every single Twilight movie.
But you right, liked them or out. Didn't like them?
No, they were all unwatchable.
But doesn't that
in varying
make
degrees.
You like more of a suspect for a crime?
Yeah. Oh yeah,
it might go the other direction. Well, yeah. We did see every Twilight
so
movie.
Something's wrong with this guy.
Yeah.
Because you've got the perfect cover. Like, I'm on a podcast. We review movies. I kind of have to do this. You go, no, you didn't,
no,
sir.
You didn't. Yeah, you knew what those movies were.
Yep.
You didn't have to review them.
And I made Laura House see every single one of them, too. She's and now she's in India learning how to cook raw food.
Yeah,
so I'm not saying they're related.
She's like, she went to Bali, I think.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's see what you did?
Yeah.
See what Twilight movies do? It makes you check out of society and go, America has nothing more to offer me.
You go eat, pray, love after you see
done.
These movies.
I'm done. I'm going to do pottery and, you know.
And build an orphanage.
And build an orphanage.
Well, that sounds like Twilight had a good impact on her life. Then. Yeah.
Well, then maybe I need to see these Twilight movies because I'd
it'll
like to
make
just,
you a better person.
I'll just check out. I'd gladly check out a society of in Bali.
Number of Twilight movies I've seen, zero. Number of orphanages I've built, also zero.
Yeah.
There's a direct correlation.
Somebody wake up. All right, so would you recommend the new Carrie, or would you tell people just go get the other one?
I think if you're like me, where you saw the first one, you thought, that was kind of fun, but you don't hold it in this weird...
reverential place.
Yeah, exactly. Oh. Like, it's a masterpiece. It's unbelievable. Then go see it. If you thought the first one sucked, definitely go see it, because I don't think it falls short of whatever you didn't like in the first one. The antagonist is great. I mean, so hateable that drives it along. Like, I got to see this girl pay. And that is, I thought it was really watchable. I mean, there are parts in the beginning where I was really kind of hating it. And then Judy Greer's really great in it. I liked her. And as it went along, I was just like, okay.
Do you think Kimberly Pierce was a good choice for the director?
Yeah, I do. I think they wanted it to have that, like, we want teenagers to like this and have kind of a Twilight-ish feel or whatever I liken to that, you know, this sort of, like, bubblegum feel. But also the tension, the moments of kind of suspense to be believable. And I thought she did pretty well with that. I also went to see it with no expectations, thinking, like, it would be a dumb teen movie. And I also just went, like, it's Halloween. Let's go see something, like, kind of, at least in theory, scary. And I thought it delivered on that. So if you went in thinking, like, I've heard this is really good, you'd probably hate me. It's shitty. But if you just went in there and like, I heard it's worth checking out, I would stand by that.
All right, fair
so
enough.
That's my final review.
All right. Carrie, guys, work it.
Work it. That's the catchphrase for this show now.
Wow.
Work it.
We need to focus group that.
12 years a slave. Yeah. Work it. Now, Graham, is this one a work it or a don't work it? That's a leave it.
Oh, God. I don't know why I would say that. Oh, I'm really tired. Yeah. Oh, work it.
No. In conclusion, work it.
Yes.
Hashtag work it for this episode.
Right next to JGL.
Yeah, hashtag JGL work it.
Yeah.
That's what we're going to do.
So I think we should save more Thor talk, though, for the spoiler app. For
because I finally saw it, and
I think we have a lot to discuss.
We're gonna, that's gonna be, and the spoiler up, we're just gonna release that next Tuesday since it's Thanksgiving week, and we're both not gonna be around, so that'll be the episode next Tuesday. It'll be all Thor spoiler talk
all the time,
just
all
to Thor. Get an and idea, you know, though. If I'm gonna go see it, is it leaning more towards leave it or work it?
You know, we might split. I might work it. Graham might leave it.
Okay, good to know.
Might be like a tree of life.
Yeah. Okay. I think we are. I will say this, knowing, I mean, obviously you talked about it on last week's episode. You really liked it. I am definitely leaning towards a not work it. I will say it was like...
All right, save it.
All right.
Save it.
I didn't like it.
Yeah. Okay. So he's leave it.
I'm not, okay, I will repeat, I'm not working it.
Yeah. This is
Thor, not work it. Leave it.
Well, right. This next movie I saw, speaking of Joss Whedon and his Avengers work, is I saw Much Ado About Nothing. Now, this is not quite... you might be able to still find it in the second run movie theater, but it's not quite on DVD yet. I really liked it. And it was one of those movies that's like... it does a number of... things that are very interesting. First of all, it's obviously a completely independent film. He made it himself. He made it in his home, and he pretty much shot the play, Much Ado About Nothing. And when you're looking at Shakespeare plays you can shoot in your home, it's a limited amount.
Sure.
You know, you're not going to be able to do Hamlet. You're not going to be able to do Macbeth. It's pretty much even Midsummer Night's Dream.
Unless you live in a castle.
Unless you live in a castle.
And it's like the Purge sequel.
Right.
It's going to be...
So it was a good choice, and it was the kind of movie that I liked on it for a number of different reasons. One of them is that to show that, you know, this was basically a vanity project, but it was the type of vanity project that was like, you know what, I'm going to make this mostly for me and my actor friends, and if you like it, great. If not, it doesn't matter. I put up the money. I'll take the hit. I'll take the loss. I don't care. And that kind of came through in a good way, where this is the kind of Shakespeare movie. If, you know, you're going to make a Shakespeare movie in black and white in your home, this is how you would hope it would turn out. Because you have all the guys from all his TV shows. You've got Nathan Fillion and, you know, all the people that you've seen in his shows that you like. And, you know, from Firefly and...
And also a fan guest of the show, Ricky Lindholm.
Yes, and Ricky Lindholm did a fantastic job, by the way. She really did. And you know, she lit up every scene she was in. And
so Ricky Lindholm, work it.
Yes, Ricky Lindholm, work it. Clark Gregg did a great job.
He worked it.
Yeah, Nathan Fillion, of course. And Amy
Acker.
Amy Ackler or Amy
Acker?
The one thing
Amy Acker did a nice job. But it was so interesting. When you watch Shakespeare, whether it's a play or an adaptation, those first 10 to 15 minutes as you're watching, you're like, I have no idea what they're saying or what they're talking about. And it's such a weird thing that actually happens when you watch it. You start to it's almost subconscious. Like, you get into the rhythm and how they're talking and what they're saying. And about halfway through, you're like, oh, I got it. I know what's going on. I know who the characters are. I know exactly what they're talking about. But there's that weird brain adjustment period because you're not used to hearing people speak in that way anymore. Mm-hmm. And so it's one of those movies, you got to give it a chance. You can't just go 5 minutes like, I don't know, this is dumb. I'm going to go watch blue collar comedy. I don't understand.
Those are the choices?
Yes,
it's Shakespeare or blue collar comedy?
Yeah,
there's no middle ground in there?
No, there isn't. That's it. It's either, all right, Shakespeare or Transformers.
That seems really extreme.
Yeah. No, it's and it is. It's an extreme choice, but you have to make it.
What?
One or the other, people. Pick a side. Anyway. So what I'm saying is...
Wait a minute. When did this movie become so polarizing?
Yeah,
there's like a war starting.
If you don't like this, you're a trash person who watches horrible, inartistic garbage.
Yeah, you're a trash person. The trash people. The trash people say work it.
I'm inclined to not watch this. And the only reason I have behind it is... This is so dumb, but he is like, oh, I have my friends come over all the time, which that sounds great. But he also goes, my wife and I were not those people that we just have people over to sit around and drink wine and have a meal. We've always got to be doing something. We don't just fraternize for the sake of being together. We want to always make something constructive out of that, which is a little weird to me, which is a little unsettling. That's what you do, great, but...
That's an odd quote.
I read that in an interview where I was like, "That I don't want to reward that behavior as a human."
Don't you first instinct, and maybe this is just because we're comics, oh, come over and we'll play a special. Don't you just go, I don't want to
absolutely
play a fucking game.
Can
we just talk?
Comedy charades? Something like that.
And then it muddles the friendship too, because his friend's like, hey, we're friends. We're going to go, yeah, it kind of sucks. But... we get to be in a Joss Whedon movie. So then now, are they really your friends? Are they actors that are just like...
If he wasn't a successful...
Would you do that?
Would you go to his house for these stupid parties?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. good morrow, Malige.
Yeah, that is a weird thing.
Where's the dip?
Like, oh, I got invited to my buddy's house for dinner. Maybe I should call my agent. You know, that means you're going to be doing something.
Is this dinner party SAG? That's not a question you want.
I like a theme party. I'm a big fan of a theme party, but when you got to make everybody do something, it's just like...
And even a theme party that repeatedly has people going, back to one, people, that's not fun.
Why are there so many cameras at this theme party? I wasn't told this would be a 12-hour party. We're losing daylight.
Boy. So I only have an hour in this party to eat and relax? Great.
Yeah, or else there's a meal penalty that we'll pay you for.
And you can't leave the Whedon compound.
Oh, wow. Because when I go to a dinner party, it's like 4 or 5 hours of just eating and relaxing.
Yeah, and getting to know each other. And not speaking in Shakespearean accents to one another. Oh, I'm Bill Shakespeare, I am.
Billy boy.
So I did like it, but basically it was as advertised. It's Joss Whedon with his famous actor friends shooting a Shakespeare play in his home.
Some of these people aren't that famous.
In Whedon circles, yeah, definitely, like, But the other thing that I will like about it is that if it gets more younger people to actually discover a little bit of Shakespeare, that's great too.
I mean, is that though? It.
Yeah.
Aren't they having Shakespeare?
Do we need to have more Shakespeare?
Honestly, yes, we do. We need more Shakespeare.
I say no. I say we don't need more Shakespeare.
You know what? Well, then I think you should try working it a little more.
Why don't you go watch blue-collar comedy, you trash person?
You garbage heap of a man. I don't think we need people talking in weird English. I think...
Go watch Beowulf Ingvall and Dancing with the Stars. Go ahead.
This is great.
I think Chris just issued to you a mandatory work it. For Much Ado About Nothing.
I'm giving you your work at papers.
You garbage person. All right. Trash people say don't work it. Sounds like trash people say leave it.
Yeah. Work it and enjoy a nice meal at the Whedon compound. That's pretty much what we're looking at.
Oh, it makes me go, if I ever got crazy famous, just how far I could push my friends, you know what I mean? Just like what weird shit. No, you got to. I don't want to. Well,
yeah.
I don't know. We're going to talk shop. I mean, I got a new project coming up, so I think we need to do the
need to be covered in oil and feathers.
Yeah, we need to we're going to have a cage fighting party.
Just that level of jump from if you have a dinner party now and your friends show up without anything, chips or a bottle of wine, no big deal. Hey, I'm glad you're here. To that level of his friends show up without memorizing line after line of Shakespeare.
Without memorizing sonnets.
Yeah. Why are you even fucking here, man? That makes sense horrible.
This sounds like the worst dinner party ever. Like, why would you ever want to go to this?
No.
Like,
no.
If he ever's like, hey, do you want to be like, oh, what's the date? Oh, no, I'm on the road. I got a thing. I got to, oh, darn.
No, I'm shooting something that day. Oh, no, this is it. Oh, you tricked me.
Oh, fuck. I remember for my birthday once, I found online
a Shakespeare play.
I found a Shakespeare play. No, the Hawaii Five-0 drinking game, because I'm a huge Hawaii Five-0 fanatic, and it was a blast. But it's still after a while, people are like, okay, they start talking, and I'd be like, no, he's talking to Dano. That means you need to have a drink. And they're like, yeah, Graham. And it's a 45 minute show. And it was more just about wear Hawaiian shirts and we'll make Mai Tais. Like, that's what it was all about. But they got tired of my little jokey bullshit.
Quickly.
Quickly. Quickly.
Yeah.
And I guess so if I was rich.
How many minutes?
If you had directed Avengers, though, you could have forced them to be plastered drunk on Mai Tais.
I think that's what I'm going to do. If I ever get that kind of wealth, I'm going to force people to... to act out Dark Knight Rises in my house.
Oh, bad, boy.
Hello, Catwoman. Fair your book, Freud. So
what was the drinking game? Every time he said, like, book him Dano or something?
Well, there was, like, it was really long and involved. And so the rules of the drinking game were actually where all the jokes were. Because it's stuff like... anytime McGarrett picks up a phone and says, patch me through to someone you drink. Anytime he solves a crime with a chalkboard or a map or an easel. Whenever he's got three or more people in a room. I mean, it was really long. It's like anytime William Shatner's in it, you take a drink.
So you're just sitting there with spectacles on going over this charter of rules to this game. And you go, oh, that's a drink. Spectacles. I'm going to need you to drink.
Yes, you have to have spectacles. Hello, looks like Dano solved a case he did. Everybody take a drink. So, yeah, work it is what I'm saying with the Hawaii Five-0 drinking game.
Is the drinking game the same for the new Hawaii Five-0?
No, there's no. It's all about McGarrett because McGarrett was.
So every time, Scott Kahn insults Hawaii, you have to take a drink?
That's right. Every time he insults Hawaii, you got to take a drink. Oh, we'd all be drunk.
Yeah.
It's a fun game. You guys are missing out.
So,
and when I get really famous, you're going to have to play it.
So let's talk now about, I want to talk about Snag Films, and we've got a contest that we want, that we're running, and also let's do a Snag Films profile. Mm-hmm. You had seen another Snag Films, right?
Zatoichi and the Doomed Man.
Isn't he the Blind Swordsman?
It's the Blind Swordsman. They have like three Zatoichi Blind Swordsman movies, and this one is awesome. It's sort of a... the movie starts out, he's getting whipped, and he starts talking about he was in prison the night before with the Doomed Man, and it's just, if you like these movies, you like Blind Swordsman movies, like they've done, this character has been done TV shows, movies, I mean, Beat Takashi did one of these movies, I think, in 2006 or 2007.
He's just a blind guy getting whipped?
He's a, that's the whole movie. Work it. No, he's in this amazing.
You should really leave it.
It's sort of like it's Daredevil esque in that okay. His other senses are heightened, so he's this amazing swordsman.
What's that other movie? That Rutger Hauer in Blind Fury.
Yeah, it's like Rutger Hauer in Blind Fury or Hijacker, the C. Thomas Howell vehicle. This is one of the dumber episodes we've ever had. Yeah. This is a really stupid episode.
I blame myself.
No, it's cool. It's classic. This particular one, I think, came out in the 60s. So it's just classic Japanese samurai business. It's good stuff.
And, so come for the blind whipping, stick around for the swordplay.
Stick around for the swordplay, of course. Because, like, they always do cool stuff, like, you know, he'll be sitting there, and then someone will put their hand on their sword and just release it a little bit, and he'll hear that and be like, oh, shit, game on. Yeah. And in this particular, these ones that this particular actor did, he's kind of a wise ass. Like, he's almost like... kind of the drunken master type from many of the Chinese kung fu.
So he's like Chris Tucker in Rush Hour.
Yeah, again, perfect analogy. You are a trash person who needs to watch Transformers 15.
The sword fighting I can understand because you're stationary, but him getting himself around, does he
like how
use
does he
a
drive?
Stick or his own sword?
Again, ancient times, so it's just a lot of walking with a stick. And that's his whole thing, is he has a cane, and his cane has a sword in it, and that's his whole that's his game.
Okay. I mean.
Now, they've made a lot of these movies, right?
Well, they did. Yeah. There was a TV series. Like, uh-huh. This character has been throughout...
And reimagined
a million different times. Like, mm-hmm. The Blind Swordsman, Zatoichi, is everywhere. Mm-hmm. And so there's a million... Zatoichi, you know... goes to college and Zatoichi's right. Spring Break.
Do I know that you're saying Zatoichi correctly after that Kirshner episode?
Zatoichi. Zatoichi is how I've pronounced it in the past. I've been corrected.
So one of them is probably close.
Just pick one. All right, fine. Pick one and whatever one, work it.
Yeah. And the other one, leave it.
Leave it. So that's Zatoichi and the Doomed Man is my Snag Films recommendation.
I actually saw another documentary called Gamers, mm-hmm. on which I really wanted to see, and it kind of explores the culture of World of Warcraft and other morgues, those massively mm-hmm. online multiplayer games. Now... This is a good documentary if you kind of want to get like an introduction on how it affects people and how people are like kind of crazy about it. Mm. It's like, you know, really fan-based. Where the movie doesn't go into depth, and this is where it falls short of games like or like movies like Chasing Ghosts that are also gamer-based. You never really get into the humanity of these people. Like, you don't really get to know who they are and what kind of drives them to make them, you know, really love this stuff. So... What it reminded me of is when Morgan Spurlock did that documentary on Comic-Con, it's just, here it is. It doesn't really dig deep into it. Mm-hmm. This is like, it's like a surface glance of it, which is fine because it's still interesting and it's still, you know, you get to see these people and what, how it kind of affects their lives where, you know, you have people that play this game day in and day out. And because it's online and multiplayer, they don't want to... It's such a genius, like, business model. Like, you don't want to miss anything. Mm-hmm. It's like it's a game that's always on. So if you're off of it, you realize, oh, my God, I'm going to miss something. I need to get that next great piece of equipment or my friends are all on, and we're going to go adventuring. And it's this weird community that gets created, but only online. And they, if you like miss out, like they get really serious about it, where like you can't miss a session. Like, it's Saturday night, all your friends, they meet at the tavern or the guild or whatever, they're about to go adventuring, but if you miss it, that's gonna fuck up the whole thing, because mm-hmm. like, well, you're the healer, you're, you know, and you kind of get this close-knit group, and it literally feels like if you had a party and like one of your best friends didn't show up, you would actually be offended over it.
So you're Joss Whedon.
Yeah. So it gets to that weird level, and then it also gets to this weird addiction point where you know, some people get so addicted to it that they need an intervention, where like everything kind of falls by the wayside. And the movie does not explore that nearly enough. I'd like to see actually a documentary that explores that a little more, like what type of addiction is this? Because people have died from this too. They've like sat in an internet cafe and dehydrated. Like, I think in Korea there was a couple of incidents. And what it is like, is this the same type of addictive personality, whether it was, you know, drugs or alcohol mm-hmm. or whatever? Is this just another thing that would attract an addictive personality? Or is that something, or is there something unique?
Wait, are you recommending these? This movie?
Yeah, or? I am. I'm recommending.
Here's what
it.
I would have liked to have seen.
Yeah, I recommend it, but I want to make it clear that it's a surface glance, and this is the kind of stuff that I would like to see. If someone's thinking about making another documentary on this subject,
so watch this one first.
Yes. and
hate
see
it.
What it's missing.
Wish it was something else, and work it.
And then work it, yeah. Because you wonder, too, because it's such a new thing, is there something specific to this that is addictive to people, but only this thing? Like, these people would never be addicted to anything else.
Yeah.
It's just this one thing that gets
interesting
them.
Quandary. Does everyone have that with them, and you just haven't found it yet? What about people that lived 50 years ago with no video games, and they had that same tick,
right,
but nothing to scratch it with?
And they nothing to work it with. Nothing to work it. So it's a fun documentary, especially if you're a gamer, to kind of see like the other people that you play these games with, and to see the culture and the business and the amount of money that is generated. I mean, there's millions of people that play these games, mm-hmm. and they pay a monthly fee every single month.
Mm-hmm.
So it's literally billions and billions of dollars that are generated through these specific types of games. It's not just video games. These, you know, massive online multiplayer games that are on all the time, that you interact mm-hmm. with the community. So it's definitely worth a view. I think you guys will like it. And now let's talk about the contest.
Snap. So Chris and I both obviously have started collections, and some of you have started even following us.
And we have followers, yes.
Which is great.
Of you should follow us. But
more of you should follow us. But so we're going to have a contest, you guys, and it's going to end. The contest will end on December 3rd, when we do the live stream. So
work it or leave it.
Hello, I'm snakefilms.com, I am. So your job is to start a collection and try to get as many followers as you possibly can. And I think are we gonna just try to hit a number, or just?
Yeah, I think so. I think we should have people hit numbers. Well, if you're the first person to get, what do I want to say? Maybe
let's say 200.
Say 200. 200
followers.
Post on the Facebook fan page,
right?
Immediately, as soon as that 200 followers you, and you will win first prize.
First prize will be
a punch in the face.
A punch in the fucking face for being a garbage person.
Yeah.
You trash heap of a human. I'm gonna blind swords you, fucking weirdo.
You come over while you're watching American Gladiators.
Yeah.
You're getting whipped and you're getting punched in the face.
Will be first prize will be a, well, let's go. Third prize will go from the bottom down.
Okay.
Third prize, Snag Films hat.
Yeah.
And a
Comedy Film Nerds t-shirt.
Comedy Film Nerds t-shirt. Second prize, Snag Films hat, Comedy Film Nerds t-shirt. $25 gift certificate for the Comedy Film Nerds store.
Oh my God. We've never given that away
before. Never, never, never. So what could first prize possibly be? Guess what? All those prizes that I just mentioned, hat, shirt, $50 gift certificate, and a CFN book.
Sweet.
That is a value of over $10,000.
Yeah, that is great. Yeah, why would you buy a new car? Yeah.
You could win that.
Yeah.
That would totally purchase a car. First person to hit 200 followers, you guys have 2 weeks basically to do this. So your job, obviously, is try to get as many people as you can to sign up and follow your collection, make an interesting collection, post about it online. because you can share movies online through snagfilms.com and, of course, get them to sign up through our website, any of the banner ads at comedyfilmers.com, or just go to snagfilmers.com/comedyfilmers. Do that, you guys. It's the last stretch of our sponsorship deal with Snag Films for now.
And I know a lot of you have already started collections and have followers, so you're already hit the ground running. You're halfway there, a lot of you.
Yeah. The first person to 200 followers, man, you're going to get $50, a book, a shirt, and a hat. So go get it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Work it.
Yeah. Work it. Don't leave it. Yeah, just work it.
Yeah. What are you guys doing?
Stop leaving it.
Stop. Are you going to go watch Transformers? Or are you going to work it? What the fuck is your problem? All right, guys. So check that out. And, of course, watch those movies like Zatoichi's Revenge, Zatoichi's Flashing Sword, Samaritan.
Sounds like you're saying Zatui Cheese.
No, white guy. Sandy in East Korea knows what I'm talking about.
We're about to get an email. Here's how you pronounce it.
It's Zatoichi. I know I'm pronouncing that correctly. I will bet you a $50 gift certificate.
Sincerely, I'm Matt Kirshen. I am.
Yeah.
All right. What's next? Dave. We want to talk to Dave here about you just saw the movie Grease.
Yeah.
And why are you watching the movie Grease? And explain...
Yeah, I'm glad you asked that, Graham.
Your situation.
My girlfriend and I have a sort of running agreement where she grew up in a cave and her parents only allowed her to watch old musicals, and she missed out on like the entire catalog that most people interact with. Oh, right. It's like that scene in Back to the Future. It's like that scene in Jaws. It's like, and she just goes, I haven't seen any of those. So it's like someone grew up on another planet. You go, wait. You had a childhood in the United States, let alone planet Earth. And you didn't see any of these movies. Right. So I show her one of those. And then a lot of times I have to watch like something she grew up with. So I've seen Singing in the Rain.
Do you get at least Grease. Odds where it's like you get to pick three, then she picks one?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. It's staggered disproportionately. So yeah. I couldn't go for one for one. I would go blind and... Get sworded and whipped.
Yeah. Get sword. Become a swordsman.
And I saw Grease. And maybe I'd seen it when I was a kid and just kind of went, I'm a boy. This doesn't really appeal to me. But certainly as an adult boy, good heavens, I just did not care for it at all.
Really?
I hate people giggling. Like guys that are supposed to be kind of tough guys in leather going in groups. It just drives me insane. And then they burst into song and I can't have that. And it's just so much that I hate about it.
Tough guys giggling in groups. You have a problem.
I will not tolerate it. And well, there's a lot of that.
As Jackie Cation says, though, it's, you know, oldest high school kids ever.
Yeah,
you know?
Those guys are in their
30s. To a person.
Yeah.
There's not a single one of them that even looks remotely
like a high school student.
Yeah. So that I was looking past that. And I kind of enjoyed the, girl meets guy, and then he sees her under different circumstances, and he's a little different, and now he's got to kind of win her back. And I liked that she was strong. I liked her character. And then when they decide, hey, we can't keep escaping one another, we're meant for each other, she sort of changes for him, and he sort of changes for her. I liked all that. The singing and, again, the giggling, I just couldn't...
giggling.
Yeah.
So now, your disdain for singing, so then how torturous is it when you have to watch your girlfriend's musicals? Like, were you just like, Singing in the Rain, oh, good, just...
No, Singing in the Rain is a cool story. I mean, it's essentially right. The artist, essentially, you know, basically... Mm-hmm. Borrowed heavily from that storyline. But Singing in the Rain, I mean, the dancing's fantastic. There's that vaudeville guy that's amazing. You kind of wonder, like, where do those skills go? No one can do that anymore. It's unbelievable. So I like a movie like that where I'm seeing some sort of skill and ability where I go, that doesn't exist these days. Whereas in Grease, they're just singing. Like, there's no breakdancing. There's nothing.
They were drag racing.
They did drag race. And even then, like, that he jumps... over the water, the front end of the car is just devastated, sort of like the bus in Speed. And right. then the next scene is just driving away smoothly. Yeah. Like, well, come on.
No, the car's dead.
The car is destroyed. I mean, and they show it in slow motion. You're seeing parts fly off of it.
The whole front chassis just buckles up and goes into the windshield. Yeah.
The two passengers are clearly dead. And, and all they did is just reference them at the end, like this movie dedicated to these two stunt people who tragically lost their lives. They didn't do that, but they,
I was like, wait for a second, I was like, holy shit, two people
died. I had you going. Wow, that's how dead they were.
Oh, this is like the Twilight Zone movie.
So I didn't like hate Grease. I wouldn't be someone like, what a piece of shit, but I just didn't enjoy my time.
You.
It's not for me. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just don't feel like it's for an adult boy. So, but I clearly it's a classic, and the soundtrack did so great and everything. And just didn't.
What other films have you had to watch, or what other films have you shown your girlfriend?
I've seen some Audrey Hepburn stuff, and then I saw Auntie Mame, uh-huh. which is kind of cool. I like that story. All of them have been.
It's pronounced Zatoichi.
But I mean, she hadn't seen The Karate Kid or Back to the Future.
How was it watching those movies with her?
We had a little bit of an episode during The Karate Kid because she had just moved to Los Angeles. And there are some parallels with Daniel moving to Los Angeles. And he's getting picked on and he doesn't really have any friends. And she just couldn't take that. Like, what if it's that hard for me? So we had to like watch it in increments. Like,
oh, wow. So she was afraid some karate bullies with a shirtless... Grandmaster was gonna
Classic
movie, historically classic.
She was gonna have to
underdog
point
story
fight in the valley.
Yeah, and I just kept going. You really think a movie called The Karate Kid is gonna end with these guys winning?
Yeah,
and she's like, I know it's stupid, but let's just pick it
Did
up again tomorrow night.
She moved into
night.
A building where they filled the pool in with dirt, and she just couldn't deal with it.
Yeah, I mean a lot of things were going against her.
Yeah,
her landlord had no sleeves on her gi.
She had just dressed up as a shower curtain for Halloween. She just couldn't figure it out.
Couldn't get anything going. Yeah. She threw her bike into a dumpster at one point.
Yeah. I hate this place.
And she's like, I'm taking karate lessons at the Y. Why isn't it working?
So I tried to get her to watch Roadhouse the other night. That might have been too big of a step.
That's too big of
I was saying, this sounds stupid that you have to see this, because it's a movie about a traveling bouncer, but everyone's seen it. It's a movie that pretty much everyone has seen for no reason. It's over 2 hours long, and again, he's just a really good bouncer. Like, that story would never sell nowadays.
For any reason.
No, it's not compelling in any way. It's
those movies in the 80s where guys like Pat Swayze are like, when Tom Cruise made Cocktail.
Yeah, it doesn't matter what they're doing. Just get them in this movie without a shirt.
He's the number one bartender. What? Yeah, who gives a shit?
Yeah, it was amazing.
This is like,
but I still love both those
He's
movies.
He's the top Zamboni driver. Get it.
And it's really, it's one of those movies that it's like, oh, we get to finally go into the world of bouncers. I'm like, no, you don't even get to do that. It's just Patrick Swayze.
And
Sam
Elliott is the like, kaju bouncer. I've been
double
bouncing.
Douche.
Yeah, I know that,
There's a sign over the top that says, don't eat the big white mint. The double douche.
So it's I guess
like a bitch.
I'm glad that you didn't show your girlfriend when she first moved to town Battle Los Angeles, because she would have lost her fucking shit.
Or maybe
she would have
gone crazy.
Blade Runner. Right, she would have been like,
or
no.
Escape from L.A.
Yeah. It's been horrible.
Yeah, no, we watched Naked Gun. That's an L.A. movie that I think is a classic, which she really liked that. So far, my success rate in showing her movies has probably been a little higher than hers, but not 100%. It's weird to see those movies through fresh eyes and not in the 80s or even the 90s. Someone's like, oh, so this is okay. All right, I get it. You're like, no, this is a classic. This is amazing. Yeah,
right.
We watched Ghostbusters a while ago, and she loved that. So that would have been one that would have been hard
is
to
she
take.
Younger?
Yeah, she's younger.
Okay.
So she's familiar with some stuff, but it's really weird. We watched Seven, and I don't think there's any spoilers to be had. She was probably the last remaining person who hadn't seen it.
Yeah.
But that movie gets quoted. It comes up in society all the time.
Oh, yeah.
You hear people just reference
What's in the box?
What's in the box all the time. And so it was uncomfortable watching it with her because she guessed what was going to happen well ahead of time. So there was not a whole lot of suspense happening. There's a scene where they're going over the painting in the lawyer's room and they're asking his wife, like, is anything here wrong? And she goes, that painting, it's upside down. And then they show her crying, the lawyer's wife crying. And the next scene is Gwyneth Paltrow. And my girlfriend goes, oh, Gwyneth's going to die. And then I was like, I just stone faced, like, well, yep, gotta keep watching the movie. Mm-hmm. And then when the guy is coming down the road at the end, she's like, oh my God, did something happen to Gwyneth? Is that the. And just starts guessing. And then he brings out the box. She goes, is that Gwyneth's head? Oh my God.
Ah, we're never going to Palm Springs now.
So, yeah, I couldn't drag her out there and relive
but
that
But you
scene.
Got through that.
Got a head in a box, baby.
But you got through that whole movie in one sitting, whereas Karate Kid.
Yeah, no. Yeah, easily. Karate Kid was the most emotionally taxing movie to her. She just couldn't see him getting bullied, and it was too much. Like, I can't take this.
So what do you have on deck? Gremlins?
Gremlins might be up. I mean, Jaws is still on
Jaws?
Deck.
Oh, you haven't gotten
yeah.
to Jaws yet?
Yeah, okay. So I mean, it's a lot of them that are
do
still
that
there.
In the winter, because she'll never go to the beach.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You know I'll tell you
but that. I don't know. I mean, her, again, she's seeing these movies through different eyes, where she's just like, well, that's...
The thing about Jaws now with contemporary eyes, I mean, it's one of those movies, too, where the effects really don't hold up. Like, it looks so fake, like so horribly fake that you're like, well, that looks like they're playing with a toy.
Even the woman in the beginning, the first victim where she's dragged back and forth, that looks ridiculous when you watch it now. Right. Little things like that where there's not even really effects, but just... Your suspension of disbelief is sort of like...
Nah. And when you saw it, it was terrifying.
Right,
it was absolutely
right.
terrifying. Right. And one of the things that always gets me now, too, is it's like, you know, if Spielberg wanted to, he could literally re-release Jaws and completely redo the effects. Like, to see the shark actually swim, because it's just a model, and you could see it's just being pulled through the water, like no fins or the tail, nothing's moving. So I really think that... might be something that could be really redone with really cool effects where you could actually see all the motion and the movement. But yeah. I don't think that's on anybody's work it list.
No.
What's on your work it list, folks?
but it is a classic movie.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's one of those where everyone should have an opportunity to see.
I would recommend too for her Top Gun. She's seen Top Gun.
Yeah.
Apocalypse Now.
That one be harder to get.
Yeah, that's going
to
be a harder one to get.
No,
but
you got to watch Apocalypse Now. You got to watch it late at night. And you got to get all weirded out by it. It's fucking. You got to watch Apocalypse Now. And
have you gotten through the Star Wars movies yet?
I think she's seen Star Wars.
That was one that slipped through the filter.
I think so. Yeah, I'm not positive about that. I'll have to.
Godfather.
What I need to do is just get a forum going, like on my website, and have people contribute movies that and just compile a huge list. Because The Godfather. A lot of these two are movies that, to me, have no real place in the pantheon of legendary films, but more so movies that everyone's seen, like Back to the Future and stuff, where it's like, these are great movies, these
like
are good,
E.T.
but yeah, that's not The Godfather or Citizen Kane.
War and, Games.
I haven't seen War Games.
You haven't seen War Games?
Oh, well, now you both
now you gotta
watch
do
it.
That. You guys both gotta watch War Games.
Okay.
Do you want to play a game? It's a good movie.
War Games was one of those movies that defined my childhood.
Oh God,
it was one of those things like, oh my God, I've used a computer like that. That is so cool. I would have loved to have done that.
The end of the film. Well, I won't tell you.
No spoilers for me.
Yeah,
but the whole computer taking over. And
yeah,
the,
loved it.
Guys, please.
Sorry. You gotta see that. You gotta see War Games. That's next one. You're both gonna have a moment of. Of discovery.
Okay, sweet.
All right,
let's talk about DVDs coming out,
I guess.
It's We're the Millers, Planes, Two Guns, and The World's End.
We're just gonna read them. Even gonna talk about them.
No, you know why?
Just
I want to read
casual. Will the Millers leave it? Planes, leave it. Two Guns, leave it. World's End, work it.
Every once in a while you get like a list that's there's no movie that has anything to do with the others. Like this is actually a DVD release that has something for everyone. This pretty much it hits. There's a kids movie. There's an action movie. There's a comedy movie, and then actually there's two comedy movies. Technically,
out of that list, I guess I would recommend The World's End.
Mm-hmm. Did you see Where the Millers?
No.
I haven't seen that either. But you know who really liked it? Lord Coret. There's a review on their site. He said, it's one of those movies where you don't think is going to be good or funny, and it actually is.
That's kind of what I heard from everyone. Yeah. This is one that appeals to me on a DVD list.
The perfect DVD film.
Perfect. Yes. When you say, I guess people don't say it as much now with Netflix and everything, be like, I'll wait until it's out on DVD. That's kind of my mindset going into We're the Millers.
Yeah, and I actually... Because
you're not going to lose much.
Right, yeah.
So check out Lord's review on the site. Okay. And actually, yeah, it's worth checking out, according to Lord.
Fair enough.
Planes have not heard anyone go, oh my God, this is amazing. Kids didn't even want to see it. And there's going to be two more, which is going to be even better. You know, the trilogy.
Perfect.
Two Guns.
Yeah, I saw part of this on a plane. Like... You saw the trailer. You've seen it.
Yeah, I was going to say, what surprises could Two Guns possibly be holding for you?
Zero. There's no surprises in there at all.
Yeah, that, I can't think of a title or premise that appeals to me less than Two Guns.
Two Guns.
Three Guns?
Even Denzel
Wahlberg.
50 Guns, yeah. Maybe. Minimum 50 Guns.
And the world's
Baker's
End.
Dozen of Guns.
Jackie Cation really liked this movie. She was saying that
The World's End, yeah.
I just finished watching Spaced, and I've seen all their other stuff, as far as Edgar Wright and Simon Pegg together.
Right.
And I'm bummed that I missed this one in the theater, because I trust whatever
those
guys
do. It was only there for about a week, it literally came and went.
Well, why did they release it right after This Is the End? I think that's what confused everybody, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Really messed it up. So I think there's probably a lot of folks out there that fell into that. That didn't see it, so here's a good time to see it. Yep. Check it out. Okay. All right. Coming out this week. It's been limited release right now in, I think, L.A. and New York, but it's going to go wide, or I don't know how wide, but Nebraska, the Bruce Dern movie, which looks great.
Yeah, yeah. That comes...
Neil just saw it.
Yeah, he loved it.
He loved it.
He thought it was fantastic. And he said, I think he even got to hear Bruce Dern speak. Like, he was there at the premiere.
I've heard interviews with him, and he talks about when he improvises on set, he goes, I do a little Dernsey. He's awesome, man. My favorite, and we talked about this before, there's so many great Bruce Dern movies, and I hope that this Nebraska, like, brings him back. Like, everyone's going to just hire Bruce Dern now to play the weird old guy or the gangster, old codger, whatever. Like,
it seemed like the Burbs should have done that.
The Burbs was great.
Amazing. Ricky, get this lame-o off my property. Come on, lame-o.
About a 10 on the angry meter there, Rube, or whatever. Like,
when he falls through the porch, holding the plate of cookies. Have you seen John Wayne and him in The Cowboys?
No.
It might be my all-time favorite movie. It's John Wayne has a ranch, and he's got some cattle that he's got to get up to Belle Fouche, I think, which is in like North Dakota or something. And no one will work for him. He's too hard. Old Ironsides. He's just too tough of a guy. And so he goes into town where he hasn't been in a long time. Says, I'm looking for hands. And all these kids are in this schoolhouse. And they're like, we'll help you, sir. And he draws a line on a chalkboard. And he's like, if you're over this height, come and help round up and stuff. And Bruce Dern and his pack of dudes show up. And they're like, we'll help you. But John Wayne's already got all these kids out there. And John Wayne goes, I've got some hands. And he's showing them these little kids, like, trying to, you know, rope cows and stuff. And then Bruce Dern goes, those are just boys. But in the creepiest Bruce Dern. He's so creepy in this and just unlikable from the get-go. And John Wayne goes, thanks, but no thanks. I'm going to stick with these kids. And then the movie is him and these kids driving these cattle and seeing whether or not they get to Belle Fouche.
This movie looks awesome. It's directed by Mark Rydell, that did On Golden Pond and The Rose. This just looks amazing.
It's so good. It's so good.
Needed for the boys. Like, this is... That looks awesome. The Cowboys? Never heard of it.
Oh, it's so good. And that... I won't give away any spoilers, but when you watch that, there's this rumor that movie hindered Bruce Dern for a good chunk of his career. And you'll see why when you watch the movie.
Okay.
Sweet. Young Bruce Dern. Always been a weirdo.
So,
yeah.
Always entertaining to watch.
And the next movie coming out is Delivery Man, starring Vince Vaughn in his sequel to the Google movie. Another great 1994 movie.
Well, here's the thing with Delivery Man. It was a French film that came out like a year or two ago. So this is the American version of it.
But it has that 90s feel again to it. It's really weird that he's done a couple of these in a row.
Yeah.
One thing you want to avoid doing, I feel, in a movie is if you have a scene that takes place at a basketball stadium, leave it out of the trailer. It always looks so cheesy. It looks really it just looks so unrealistic. It takes you out of whatever you're in. Like, well, that would never happen. Games don't look like that.
Yeah, and it's a sperm donor that has all of a sudden is like, oh, he's found all, you know, he has all these kids now, and does he want to meet them?
And the reviews people I've been seeing like get interviewed, they go, yeah, this isn't exactly a comedy. This is different for Vince. It's more of a, it's kind of a heartstrings movie.
Well, you wouldn't know that from the trailer. I mean, they're trying to market it as a comedy.
Yes, so you've
the original was called Starbuck. And
was it a French film?
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah, it was a French film.
Okay.
Yeah, it's the same thing. It's
all right. Movie. I don't have high hopes for this movie. I'm not sure. So
this seems like a good airplane movie.
This does seem like a good airplane movie.
Yeah, Starbuck, I saw the trailer for Starbuck. I was like, wow, this looks really sort of poignant. But this delivery man...
The American version.
Yeah, right. And it's going to have a slow clap. It's going to have...
Seeing a guy who's a little overweight, in his mid-40s, wearing a hoodie, with a face that just kind of says, like, hey, that's
well,
life.
This is how it worked out.
I feel like I've seen enough of that. That character, that whole design.
And specifically, Vince Vaughn playing that character.
Right. And they're like, you know, I finally found something that it's gonna... It's just
exactly.
Oh, you know, wow! So we're watching Stripes.
Do another
another
character.
Movie you should watch with your girlfriend.
Do another character like in Maid, where you know you're kind of fucking stuff up, but you have a person and you're trying. You're like you know, it's a more interesting character.
Do the guy you played in Into the Wild. It was a small part.
Oh, that was a good part.
He played
you're right.
This, and it was it's a real guy, obviously, because it's based on this guy's journal. But he played this like club owner that's kind of shady. And it's like, I remember I liked Into the Wild a lot. And that Vince Vaughn character, I was like, this is believable just from all the years of being on the road and a lot of comedy club owners or sort of.
Vince
Vaughn. little money laundering, maybe.
I mean, Vince Vaughn, he has a bit of a range. But you know, you wonder, too, is this the stuff he's picking or is it all he's being offered?
You seen Return to Paradise, I believe it's called, with Joaquin Phoenix and Anne Heche? That, as far as range goes, that kind of combines all of his archetypes, if you will. He's Beanie from Old School. He's kind of quick, brash, you know, or the swingers guy to a degree. Then there's the softer side, and he essentially what happens is they go and...
Oh, yeah, this is a great film. Yeah. I've seen this movie.
It's really compelling, and it's tense, and he's the main guy. I mean, I think he's in nearly every frame of the movie, and it's a lot of it on his shoulders, and he has to carry that, and without being like, I'm a guy that just pisses everything off. I don't give a shit about anything.
Right.
He cares a little bit, and the movie's kind of about his redemption in a way that's not like, I'm 40 wearing a hoodie, and these kids brought me back to, you know, caring about stuff. It's more like...
These are all the Vince Vaughn movies you should see instead of Delivery Man, is what we're telling you. We'll see this on a plane.
Even Swingers, you get like you get really a snapshot of L.A. at that time, and that actually holds up because it's almost like a cultural piece in a weird way.
Yeah. Well, and then at the end when he's going like, she's digging me, she's digging my vibe, and then she's playing with her baby and she gets up and leaves, he has to be a good actor to convey there that like, maybe I'm getting a little old for this kind of behavior. Maybe it's time to...
I'm not Johnny Deal Closer.
Right.
Just because I'm tall and good looking.
Yeah.
And the reaction of Favreau of like, damn. Like,
yeah. Yeah, he just saw Superman meet his kryptonite, essentially. Yeah. He saw, like, his dad lose a fist fight.
All right, coming out, Hunger Games, Catching Fire.
No, I'm really looking forward to this movie. I mean, I've read all three books, and I'm glad they dumped the first director because he didn't really get it. And I think that now that they know what they had, and the same thing we were talking about Lionsgate, too, as a studio, I don't think they knew what they had, this huge juggernaut of a franchise because that none of the other studios even wanted. Now it's like, okay, now I think it really looks like it's more back on track with the story and the spirit of the books. And also, it looks like everyone's on board now.
I'm still gun shy from the first one. I was so excited for the first one. This one, I'm going to see it, but I'm just like,
we're all in three different spots. You've read all the books. I read the first book, and that's why the first movie was disappointing. But I want to see the second movie because I haven't read the second book, so it can't disappoint me on that level. And I'm intrigued enough by sort of the franchise to give it another shot. Mm-hmm. So, but Graham is openly just sort of like, don't care. I've lost all interest.
Yes. Didn't read the books.
Yeah. No,
I will say, as a science fiction fan, I don't know how to read.
Did you see the first one, though?
I did see the first movie.
And it was disappointing even for someone that hadn't read the book at all.
Yeah.
See, that's where I'm curious. Like, I feel like some people went, I liked it. But if you read the book, you're like, she's never struggling in the movie. And she's never even hungry in a fucking movie called The Hunger Games.
Yeah.
And
they
lost out on that interaction between her and the Woody Harrelson character and even the stylist. Everyone just moves through so quickly, you never develop any relationships.
And the books do such a great job of creating this dystopian world and how everything is absolutely horrible. And then when they get to the capital, you see how the rest of the world lives in opulence with even a lot of times not even any knowledge of how horrible it is everywhere.
Yeah, the other world that they lived in the film, the first one was just like, oh, they're just sort of...
They're just kind of poor.
Blue-collar farmer people.
Yeah.
And go out and work and hunt.
And the book shows that like, every single day is a struggle to survive. And all they go through a lot of really cool kind of science fiction elements and... All this entire world, and it gets creepy with like the bioengineering of the weaponizing of the animals, everything that they go through in the books, that it's like everything's just like glossed over in the movie and not important. And the dumbest thing in the first movie was that like all the time devoted to like how the games work, like that guy going over the board on changing the games, nobody gives a shit. It's like, you know, teenagers are killing each other in this arena.
It drives me crazy.
And you've got a guy moving around his hands in front of a computer screen. We need to
build a drama. Also, murdering to survive, that's not enough.
Really? This is where you're spending your limited amount of time on a feature film when you've got this giant, rich novel
instead of Batman going around fighting Bane, why don't we have him in the Batcave going through code and fixing the bat computer?
Yeah, or maybe just going to the bank.
Yeah, but going to the bank. He's got to do the books for Wayne Manor.
To play devil's advocate, I've had things that I was trying to develop before, and that is what people focus on the most. They go, why would this character want to help this character? And you go, he needs to move this along a little bit. He's just there to give him change or whatever.
Yeah, those people are dumb and wrong.
I think the story is always the most important thing. Everyone else will forgive. Oh, I didn't see how he got there. Well, if that's your only critique, then this has been a success.
Then it's more solid than you'd think.
Then boring them with the minute details.
Everything checks out.
Right.
Not interesting at all.
Exactly.
Everything checks out. Yep, you guys did it. Point for point.
Yeah.
Bored him right to death.
Oh.
Didn't miss a beat.
You're like the guy that reads the rules on board game night, and everyone else is like, just play.
Yeah.
We'll figure it out. Actually, when you rolled a dice the third time.
Because the setup of this movie is now that they've won the Hunger Games, but they kind of broke the rules a little bit because you're not supposed to have two survivors, then ultimately is that now your life's kind of in danger because now you're a symbol of possible rebellion. That's the opening of the second book as well.
I like that. I've heard that they stayed too close to the first as far as the beats. You know, they're essentially back in the game. They're back trying, you know, they told the same story.
I don't want to give any spoilers. That's how it starts.
Okay.
I won't say anything
good.
Else.
Okay, that's all I wanted. I just want to clarify that because that was a little.
And in the books, I will say too, they're so well written that the writer knows that you know that, and then this is what happens next.
Okay.
So.
Okay.
All right. Well, that's our show, everybody.
You know what? It was a little jam packed. I think
it was packed full of good business. Yeah. It started out really dumb.
Yeah. and then it worked it towards and then the end.
Oh, such a work it save. Thank you for listening, you garbage people.
Can I plug a couple shows?
Just hold the fuck on.
Guys, let me get in here. Yeah. Let me elbow into this.
We'll always let you promote.
We're about to get.
Don't worry.
And your plugs.
Believe me.
I plug everything.
Think Graham would go one show without plugging something?
I plug everywhere. I'll plug at a funeral.
Go plug in front of garbage people.
I don't care. I'll sell them Palm Strike shirts. I don't give a shit about what those garbage people do. I'm there to work it, David.
I don't blame you. Yeah.
So, David Huntsberger, where can people find you, listen to you? Shows
and what do you have coming up?
Professor Blastoff comes out.
Sounds
every Tuesday.
Great, Chris. You have a lot of.
Oh, I have got some shows. I do.
I've got a website. I do.
Yeah, Professor Blastoff every Tuesday on Earwolf or ProfessorBlastoff.com. My website's DavidHuntsberger.com. I draw comics and some animations that show up on there from time to time, and I will write little blurbs. And then I have a live show. This Sunday, the November 24th, at the Arlington Draft House with Al Madrigal, Tommy Jonigan, and Dan Soder. It's part of the we do this web series for the 49ers website. So we're going to be there and then
where
go
is
to
this?
The.
Where's the location of this?
It's going to be in Arlington, Virginia.
Oh, so the one near you, DC.
Yeah,
right on.
So cool. Any of you Virginia, Maryland, DC people, come on out.
And, with Al Madrigal and who else?
Tommy Jonigan and Dan Soder.
That's a great show.
I think it's a pretty good lineup. Yeah. So hopefully people show up to it. And then December 8th in San Diego, we're doing a live Professor Blastoff.
Oh, cool.
So come to that. Those are two things.
What do we got to do to get Professor Blastoff in the Los Angeles Podcast Festival?
You're coming next year, though, right?
We're coming next year. That's the plan. This year, Tig had to do the Tenacious D Festival, and evidently they had like a disclosure thing or something.
Non-compete thing?
Yeah.
Oh, that we're going to have this year.
Yeah. But I think it's weird that we're a podcast, and it was just her on her own there. It seemed like those should have been able to work together, but evidently it was a...
Yeah, we're going to be very specific. You can't do another live podcast the day before the festival in LA.
Right. No, that seems fair. But hopefully we'll be there, because I went and watched this year, and I was on Doug's show live from there, and I thought it was awesome. I think you guys have such a cool thing going on there, and people were coming over from all over the place.
All over the country.
Yeah,
and even Australia people came.
Mm-hmm. That was great.
So that was really neat to see. I was totally unfamiliar with who made up the festival going crowd going in. So it's really interesting to see that people had like scheduled their lives around flying in and being there for that. It was really cool.
It's become an event now. We're going to do it right around the first week of October. We're just locking down a new venue and dates, and that'll just be a thing every year.
Cool. Yeah. We'll really, really want to make Professor Blastoff.
As long as you guys keep coming, we'll keep making, doing the festival. Sweet.
So DavidHuntsberger.com. That's the one.
DavidHuntsberger.com. Yeah. And I hopefully we'll have a new little web series coming out soon, but I can't say for sure just yet. We're sort of like still building it, but keep on DavidHuntsberger.com for any of those sort of updates. And if not, I'd at least draw like some comics from time to time.
Sweet.
And we always enjoy when Dave writes reviews for the site.
Check those out, you guys. I will be, I guess some of these I'm not supposed to announce, but I will be in San Diego with Doug Benson Wednesday, November 27th at the American Comedy Company. And the Sunday before that, the 24th, I'll be at the Pearl Jam concert. So work it. If you're in the sports arena, come up to me. If I see you there wearing a Palm Strike shirt, I'll buy you a beer.
Nice.
How's that sound?
Why don't you if somebody bring a Snag Films hat. If someone says they're a fan of the show, give them the hat.
And also to hang out with Graham, just do yourself a favor and memorize a couple sonnets. It's going to be part of the evening.
Don't come unprepared.
Work
it.
San Diego. November 27th. And of course, I will be December 3rd. We're doing our Laughster show, which will be live at 6 p.m. Pacific time.
Right, on laughster.com. You can get like a free ticket to sign up for it now. And then also the rewards are actually already there, so you could even pre-order a reward if you want.
Live video streaming from the garage. You guys will get to see what the inside of the garage looks like.
Yes, you'll see the gargoyles, everything.
Yes, the messiness. We're not going to clean it.
No, we're not.
And then I will be headlining the Irvine Improv, Irvine, California, December 27th and 28th. Chris will be on that show as well. And I will be defending my 12 Guests of Christmas two-time champion, going for my three-peat December 17th. So suck it. Anything else?
No, that's everything. Yeah, that's all the shows. And like you said, we have the Christmas is coming up, and we really appreciate you guys supporting the store. Like we said, if you pay $20 a year in merchandise, that really helps us a lot. And like we said, we fixed the cart. All the shipping is all done. All the shipping is now. There's cheaper options for both international and domestic. There's media mail rates and book rates, so we were able to get that down for you guys. So we really appreciate you guys supporting this store and our sponsors. So thanks again.
Snagfilms.com/comedyfilmnerds. Start your collection. First person to 200. We will announce the winner on the December 3rd laughter show.
Yeah. And then second and third people to 200, you get the other prizes.
Yeah. Fourth place, set of steak knives.
Yeah. Which isn't bad.
They're really good.
Love those steak knives.
All right, you guys, thank you once again to our guest, David Huntsberger.
I'm David Huntsberger, I am.
My name is Graham Elwood.
I'm Chris Mancini, and as always, remember,
Han shot first.
Zatuichi.
Work it.